No, I'm totally not famous now. Me and my buddy tomorrow.
He's totally famous. Totally famous. We're on the air right now.
Are we on the air?
Yeah,
right,
because
now?
My iPad just died, so we're going to go with it.
All right,
boys and girls, good seeing you.
You too.
Have
hey,
a good
man. Nice meeting you.
Thanks
guys.
For the show.
Take care.
Passing it along. Who's there? Giggles, you there?
I don't hear anything.
No, I don't hear anything.
I don't
either.
Hear anything.
Hold on.
Check, check. Yeah. One, tickety two. I could bust a couple of freestyles, maybe.
Yeah, that's a couple freestyles.
I can't do that at all, but I'll pretend to, just to try and buy some time. And maybe I'll just introduce myself. How's that sound? If we're actually on the air right now, then maybe I'll.
Yeah, just to go with it.
Yeah,
just go with
my
it.
My name is Charles Pinto, and I'm on the Dave and Giggles show right now. And
I absolutely love it.
Yeah, no, my buddy
so
of Dave's. We'll get all this exposition out of the way, so people aren't like, "Who's that idiot talking right now?" That's not.
Oh,
Dave
I see
or
why
Giggles.
It's not working.
Yeah.
It's not reading.
Uh oh.
I know why.
There's no wire plugged in.
This is how I do things, Charlie.
This is
how things happen.
Yes, yeah, spur of the last minute.
That is way better. So we're going to close that down. We are Dave and Giggles. Giggles will be on shortly. We got Charlie in here. Charlie and I used to work together.
That's right.
We used to hang out.
We do.
We still hang out. And now we're going to do a show together. Giggles, you there? No.
I don't hear anything. Yes, it's true. We did used to work together in the post-production world over at the one and only Dr. Oz. And, this whole podcasting thing, you and I have been talking about doing this podcasting thing for a very long time, man.
I'm going to call you back.
Yeah,
we have been talking about doing this for, like, and it's been such a long time in the making.
Right.
That it feels kind of weird now that we're actually doing it, and it's all going so awry right here.
Yeah, no, it's going as smooth as it should between.
Smooth as it should.
Yeah, and sure, and it'll be a disappointment since we've been talking about it for the last 5 years. I'm sure it'll crash and burn.
Yeah, exactly.
So we're off to a good start.
Giggles, can you hear me?
Hello, Giggles.
Oh, man, let me try to.
Okay. Well, it's the Dave and Charlie show today, Giggles. I hope you don't mind if I step into your shoes.
All right.
Listeners, if you're out there.
Dave.
There he is.
Dave.
Yeah, there he is.
Two.
All right.
Charles.
Let's get
Charles
this.
Pinto with the self-introduction. How you doing, buddy?
Good, man.
It's Giggles.
How you doing?
I'm here with you.
Nice digital hello, Mr. Giggles.
Thank you.
I've heard you before, but you've probably never heard me before.
Yeah.
No. This is the first.
Yeah.
If you're just tuning in, this is the Dave and Giggles show. Giggles is now on, and we're in studio with Charles Pinto, who used to work with Dave.
Yeah.
Riveting. Let's get right into it. We got a big show.
We do.
Today. We got John Shannon, who's going to call in.
Well, don't give it out all at once, because I don't know if he doesn't call.
Slow build.
Yeah. It's fine, though. So, I forgot to charge my iPad, so it died on me. So that's why there was no open. We just go straight into it. But that's fine.
So
here we are.
So disappointing.
Rocking it out. I'm going to see if I can get a... All right, so what kind of show we got going today? I am Dave. Halfway across the country is Giggles.
It's
in Colorado.
30-minute introduction.
Yeah.
30-minute
all right, so go on. So what do we got lined up today?
We got John Shannon, who's part of The Shift, calling in. And then a little bit later, we got Rob Rokicki, who we saw his show, The Lightning Thief. He did the music and lyrics for it. And it's going to close in a couple days here on off-Broadway.
It's closing already? Did it do well?
I guess we
could talk to him about it.
Yeah, well, we can ask him. So we're going to talk to him. He wrote the music and lyrics. And then maybe a little later, we might have Greg Wiener calling in. Greg Wiener.
I didn't
know if we should go by his other name.
Whatever name he wants to go by. We'll ask him.
We got a lot of hot topics.
First
thing first is this freaking festival. Can we talk about this?
Well, all right. So tell me the Fire Festival. It's what it's called, right?
Okay. I never heard of it.
You haven't heard about the Fire Festival?
I have no idea what the Fire Festival is.
The only thing I know about it is Ja Rule, right? So Ja Rule throws a festival on an abandoned island. Right?
He's like, terrible.
Oh, it's a really. So I don't know too much about it, Giggles. What else do you know about it? Give me the rundown.
I didn't read too much into it.
Of course.
I was just like, basically, he got all these rich kids to come down there, pay like upwards of thousands and ten thousands of dollars to go to this like luxury
I heard
music
some people
festival,
spent 250 grand.
It just ended up
grand.
Being a shit show.
Wow.
250 grand. To go to this festival, and it turned into like things just went awry. There was no power on the island, and they couldn't figure out how to do that. Then the word spread real quick that there wasn't enough water on the island for everyone, so everyone started looting water from wherever they could get it.
This is, First of all, when you say Ja Rule and Abandoned Island, I immediately think terrible horror movie. So if you just add like Paris Hilton into this,
yeah,
this is exactly what I would expect to happen. No water, looting, and then people cannibalism.
And then apparently they couldn't get boats to get them off the island, so they were stranded on the island.
Yes. And then people start eating each other for survival.
Right.
Yeah, I heard like Lord of the Flies met Coachella, like just bad. Like they wanted it to be something special, but they didn't have the, you know, proper planning prevents piss poor performance.
And where was this? Was this East Coast, West Coast?
In the Bahamas, I think.
Yeah, it was in the Bahamas. Yeah. Oh, okay. It was some weird little island in the Bahamas. They were like, let's just do the festival there. It'll be great.
Yeah.
And apparently they didn't put any thought into it.
Clearly.
Yeah. Apparently, the person who was kind of like helping them run this thing never signed an NDA.
Right.
So she's like going like, well, yeah, they had no clue how to do anything. Oh. And I tried to like gear them towards to do something, and they thought they would just be able to walk up and just have this festival.
Yes. Of course, we should definitely trust the guy who's been to prison and and who went in for what, tax evasion?
Yeah, is that what he went in for?
He definitely knows how to run his business
properly. How many years was he in for?
Oh, man. I mean, I don't want to speak out of turn because, you know, every thug needs a lady and whatnot.
It's
he's
true.
He's a gangster, but I mean, I feel like he was in there for 2 to 3, right?
Damn.
He was in there for a minute.
So there must have been big tax evasion.
Yeah. What's that?
I said, don't trust him to put on a music festival. Oh, this guy's straight out of jail? Oh, hey, here's a music festival.
Let's give him.
This sounds like a good idea.
A 3-show
and then Blink 182? Like, you'd spend all that money to go see Blink 182? You know? And then they pulled out.
Yeah.
That was the headliner? That was the headliner?
I think that was one of them, plus Ja Rule. I don't know who else was supposed to play there.
This is the worst show ever.
Yeah, it sounds like the worst show ever.
Yeah.
Oh man, it's just but he sold it on like being this exclusive high end like festival.
Right.
That it would be like in the Bahamas, it would be like everybody would be on the beach all day. Everyone's going to have their own little personal hut with like nice food and everything. And apparently like they were fed like bread squares and cheese.
This is like space food of
some
sort.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh wow, man! That it's of course bread and cheese. That's what you would get in prison, I imagine. 19,
oh yeah, totally.
And on the Green Mile,
Ja Rule's like, "What? This is what I got."
Yeah, man, this is perfect. This is a gourmet.
Somebody
meal.
Saw all that cash, and they were just like, "All right, well, let's just spend this on drugs." And they just got really high.
Yeah.
And then they ended up not like ordering food. You know, like you see that much cash, and you're like, "All right, well, we could throw a music festival, or we could
take this money and do whatever the hell we want with
blaze
it."
Blaze out.
Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah. I do want to read more about it because there was also like it was trending a lot, obviously. And like everyone was like, you know, doing SOS, save us. We're stuck on an island in the Bahamas.
Right.
It's pretty fantastic.
When you said it, I thought it was the Fry Festival, not Fire Festival.
Oh, yeah. No.
Because when
what's
I
the Fry one?
I've heard of that one. I thought it was F-Y-R-E or F-F-R-Y-E.
Right.
And I was like, oh, maybe it's about French fries or something delicious. But apparently, there's no food at all.
F-Y-R-E. Yeah.
Just a quick question. I don't want to break up the Ja Rule flow, but is this like, I know I've done podcasts before where I'm allowed to say whatever I want.
Say whatever you like.
I can say any word I want.
You could fucking say whatever you want.
Fuck, that's fucking great.
It's fucking great.
I don't want to.
No, it's totally fine. Yeah, you can say whatever you want. I mean,
I think my kids have stopped listening.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah.
Once they've gone to bed.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing to hold us back here. I mean, I don't think there's anything off the table, but
all right, great.
If it gets weird, it gets weird.
Hey, man, it's the way we like it here.
But
give me a little look at him.
You want to see him?
Let me see him.
I got gotcha. So I got gotcha. You.
Oh, you got. Oh, hey, what's up?
There's Charlie.
Hey, how are you, buddy?
I could probably get a better shot without the mic in front of his face. There he is.
Yeah,
there he is.
Pose for you.
All right, should we play Guess the Race?
Guess the race.
All right. Do you want me to give you his last name? Will that help?
Give it away. Oh, it's Pinto. So is he Italian?
I am part Italian. Yes, I am.
There it is.
Where's
the sound effects? We did it.
Ding, ding.
One of my favorite things about Charlie is that his dad owns a junkyard in Ridgewood, a scrap metal.
No, in Bushwick.
In Bushwick. Very close to
where
we
are. Palm Metal Street in Central.
Is there a dog, junkyard dog?
Oh, my God. There was a lot of junkyard dogs growing up. They were pretty mean bastards, but he has since retired.
Yeah, he
shut down the shop 2 years ago, but...
did he sell it off, or did he just kind of just say dissolve?
He still rents it out.
Yeah,
he rents it out to people. Apparently, he rents it out to some young gentleman who doesn't seem to do much for work. but for some reason there's a full-size bar-looking thing going on there. So I'm assuming it's some after-hours Bushwick party club place now.
So wait, in the junkyard, he opens up a bar? Well, like outside? So, like, let's just treat. That's a great idea, by the way.
Yeah, but
I would do that.
There was a lot, a junkyard next to the building that he also owned. It was kind of like a stable building. So it was only two floors, not three. And it has it's a big open space.
Huh.
Unfinished. You know, it kind of looks like where.
He been like confronted about selling it for like just high end condos?
God. Yeah, yeah, yeah. A lot of people came by and were making him offers. But, you know, the way it looks in Bushwick is better to hold on to it because we don't know exactly which way the market's going to go just
That's
yet.
True.
Yeah, you know,
that's true.
It could be worth a lot
but
more
then,
money.
But, I mean, there's always the scare of being like, well, I'm not going to sell it now. I'm going to hold. And then all of a sudden it crumbles and then you're shit out of luck.
Yeah, then you're just stuck with Bushwick property.
Right.
Which
but, I mean, in the end, I think isn't it in the idea of the, like, I'm going to keep this until I'm ready to retire, sell it, and then I'm done.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's part of it, but he seems to be doing okay, you know, after whatever he saved. So I guess he figures, hold on, if it pays for itself with renting, then why not hold on to it?
Yeah, that's not a bad game.
See what happens, because technically it is two pieces of property. There's a lot, and then there's the actual building that was attached to it where the business was.
Why don't we have parties there? Like, giant loft, huge parties.
It would be a badass place for a party.
Sounds great.
It's definitely, we could turn it into our own recording studio.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
That's not a bad idea. We should talk more about this.
We could talk more. Yeah. we could get into negotiations.
Yeah, we'll get into negotiations. It would be pretty badass to throw some concerts in there. That'd be pretty cool.
It would be a good space for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was trying to get Dave to buy his apartment building from the lady, but that's a, you know, because he's got the, it's a three-story pre-war building,
mm-hmm.
and each apartment has the whole floor, so
right.
it's giant.
It
it's
is
in
giant.
Ridgewood. Like, if he should have bought it, probably he should have tried to buy it like 8 years ago.
Yeah, would have been the smart time to buy it now. Not now, though. And then also, I think, like, in the last 5 years, it became a landmark building.
Okay.
So I'm sure that upped the cost of it by a tremendous amount. I remember the owners wanted to sell it, and I remember being like, I'm going to get screwed because someone's going to buy it and then just skyrocket the rent on me.
Kill you.
Yeah.
What floor are you on?
I'm on the third floor.
The top floor. Penthouse floor.
Penthouse floor.
Okay.
I'm on the penthouse floor.
Yeah.
Kind of got roof access. We got basement access to store stuff. It's not a bad deal.
That's a sweet deal, man.
Three-bedroom apartment.
Two living rooms.
Eat-in kitchen.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I know, it's
this
not bad at all.
Swanky McSwankerton over
here. Well, that's why they call it the penthouse.
Yeah. That's great. So now, hold on. Just a little exposition for myself. Like, so Giggles, I know, used to do the podcast here with you.
Yeah.
And moved to Colorado.
Moved to Colorado.
And what was it? Just life change? You just felt like going out to...
He got married and was forced to move to Colorado.
I think the man can speak for himself, right?
Dave's
co-host of this show. I don't think I need you to...
The 3 years I've lived out here.
This is true.
Dave has not visited once.
This is true,
and
too.
And on the other hand, I've visited maybe 6 or 7 times.
Probably way more than that. Dozens, probably.
And where in Colorado are you?
So I'm in Denver, technically Aurora, Denver's... but I just say Denver.
He's in the same town of the movie theater.
Right. Yeah. The Aurora movie theater.
Yeah.
Denver's a cool city, man. You should check out Denver.
I know. I do want to get out there. You should let me drive up in my Jeep. I totally just want to drive out there and just go, you know, in the mountains and drive the Jeep around. That sounds like a badass time.
Let's bring some Pink Floyd. And some stuff you can buy in Colorado.
A lot of stuff you could buy in Colorado.
You'd probably have a great time, actually.
It would probably be a really great time.
Listen, once your girlfriend finishes her first semester of college, then maybe you guys can go out.
Maybe.
All right.
But it was high school. It's high school, not college.
High school.
So, Charlie, you do a podcast, or when's the last podcast you did? Because I feel like I haven't seen you guys in a while.
Yeah, no, we haven't done one in about a year. We stopped it around last summer, beginning of last summer, and it was just becoming, you know, as I'm sure you guys have had to deal with before, but you guys have been doing it for a really long time, but it was summertime, and we had both started seeing new ladies, and, you know, we just kind of wanted to go out, and doing it during the week was becoming difficult, but... Yeah, we had the Psycho Ramblings podcast, myself and my buddy Ushwin, which was exactly what the name sounded like. It was just a complete clusterfuck.
I've listened to a bunch of the shows. They were great.
I think we had some good chemistry.
Yeah, totally.
For some reason, all of our conversations would tend to try and start highbrow and then divulge into our bowel movements of the day.
Yeah, that's pretty much what happens, though. So Ashwin was your partner then.
Yeah.
We also worked with him.
Right, yeah.
And his sister just made a film.
That's right.
That I was the colorist on.
That's right.
Yeah. I don't know how much I should really get into it. But I went to the premiere on Monday. That was pretty cool.
Nice. What's the name of the movie?
It was called I Am Evidence.
I Am Evidence.
Yeah, right. It was...
Is this the rape movie?
It's a rape kit movie, yeah, right. Which is really intense.
Right.
I mean, the actual substance of the movie is like, holy shit, right. This is what happens in the world. Basically, what we say in the movie, and I'm not giving anything away or anything like that. You guys should totally go see it. It's really great.
Right.
But... it'll eventually be on HBO. But right. Basically what they say is that there's like across the nation hundreds of thousands of rape kits that just get tossed in a room and then never get looked at again. Really? So basically what they're saying is that women don't matter. Like what they're saying is women who get raped aren't worth the time and effort and small amount of money to test the kits.
Wow.
So we'd rather put money into other things rather than the rape kits.
That's incredible.
It's incredible.
That's unbelievable. And this is playing at Tribeca, right?
Played at Tribeca last week. Right. And then eventually it'll be on HBO.
Wow, that's really interesting.
Sounds pretty heavy.
It's really heavy. It's really heavy.
Can you give us a little positive about it? Like, this sounds kind of, depressing. Is there any sort of,
Well, I mean,
do you have a call to action, anything like that?
It definitely is a call to action. I think you can go to iamevidencethemovie.com or just look up I Am Evidence. There's a whole thing on it, and they talk about, the movement of, actually bringing to light all these problems with the rape kits across the nation, whichever police department is worse than another one.
Right.
They focused in on L.A., Detroit, and Indiana? I can't remember. I can't remember what other third one it was. But how now they're doing better. But at first they were just really bad. Right. But apparently New York City is one of the best. They're really good about it.
Right. Okay. We're good at handling the rape stuff.
Yeah, we're good at handling the rape stuff. But it was produced by Mariska Hargitay, which is from Law and Order.
Law and Order, yeah.
I got to hang out with her. She came in my room, sat down.
That's
and,
nice. She smelled nice?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she smelled nice.
I was a PA on Law and Order once back in the day when old Charlie was trying to make his bones.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
It was interesting. No one cared about me.
No, no. They never care about
you in
your PA.
Dave and Giggles. We're talking with Charles Pinto here.
Hello.
Dave's in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
I'm in Colorado. We're talking about rape. It's not a really easy topic to talk about.
It's not an easy topic.
We get down deep. We, I think it's okay to talk about it.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm trying to see if John Shannon's going to call in, but you never know with him. He's a rock star. So
who's John Shannon?
John Shannon's a guy who runs he's in a band called The Shift.
Okay.
He's been on our show before. He's really great. He's touring now. He's touring the band all over.
Nice.
And they were supposed to be in Jersey, and I was trying to get him to come in. He's like, can I call in? I was like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see if he calls in.
He's lead guitar?
Lead guitar, singer, songwriter. He came in our show when he was doing solo stuff, and Giggles just fell in love with him. I've never seen someone get a man crush on somebody so hard.
Okay.
Well, he was to my credit, he was talking about a vision quest that he went on, which basically you just go out into the desert for 7 days and find yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that right there, I just had man crush all over him. I was like, oh, that sounds amazing.
All over him. But I mean,
he's just really cool and earthy. He's like the kind of guy that Dave.
You
could
couldn't
be
do it though.
If
you
he
couldn't
showered,
do. This is true. If I showered, but
if you
couldn't
showered,
do
clean yourself up a little bit.
You couldn't you could do the vision quest. I don't
I
think
do
you
a
could
vision
do
it. Sort of partial quest.
Yeah, but there's
where
no
I'd start
food.
To shiver
you
in
can't
the middle
get.
Of the night.
There's no water.
Get cold.
For I think it's 3 days.
Wait,
there's no food,
you're not
no
supposed
water.
To eat or drink water.
You just sit in the desert alone for 3 days with nothing to eat and no water.
But that's crazy.
It's
I don't
just
know,
crazy.
I don't know, that's something.
But I mean, the idea
you,
is that you trip and you're supposed to have this hallucinogenic amazing experience where you kind of come to this Nirvana-esque experience.
Right.
And he talked about it last time he came on the show. Maybe if he calls again, we'll talk to him about it again. But, I mean, the idea of it is kind of alluring, but the practice of it sounds horrible.
I mean, I went to Joshua Tree out, in California for about 4 or 5 hours just passing through from Vegas to California.
Yep.
And I'm pretty sure all I thought about was Italian combos and slamming a beer. So I can't imagine doing 3 days.
Yeah.
of no water and no food.
But he did talk about, so I think he said, like, it was within, like, the first 10 hours. The first 10 hours, he said, were, like, all I thought about was the future and the past. Mm-hmm. So thinking about, like, what is he going to eat when he's done, right. thinking about all that stuff. And then once he got over that hill of, like, thinking about the future and the past,
right.
he was like, oh, I am in this. Mm-hmm. And he just only thought about the present. And that became his like Nirvana-esque moment of being like, I am here and there's a suffering happening. Mm-hmm. I have to deal with this and get through it. So it was interesting. I don't think I could do it. I don't think Giggles could do it. I don't think anyone in this room could do it.
No.
We should do it.
All right, you want to do it? All right, let's do it.
Schaefer was talking. I get this. So I hung out with Schaefer uh-huh. for a couple days this weekend because he was in Fort Collins and saw his play, Pippin. The musical.
Nice.
Yeah, he was good. He was King Charlemagne, which was pretty cool. He had a nice part.
Was he good?
Pretty cool production. Yeah, he's pretty good.
Yeah. He's.
And we went out for beers. Well, I had a beer. We had like a beer, and it's in this college town. And I forget, like, I've never really partied in a college town. And we went out, and I was like, oh, geez, this is like, it's packed. You know, there's a ton of college kids. You could tell the freshmen from the seniors, and it was just this like.
Wait, there was freshmen at the bar? Like, I feel like they're too young.
No, freshmen on the street. You can tell the pack of freshman girls that, like, didn't know where they were going. They're like, where should we go? Should we go here? Oh, they have cupcakes. You know, like, they were dressed very conservatively.
Sure.
You know, like, you could tell. And but then there were some people that was like, oh, you've been in this town for a while. Like, it's one of those towns where, like, you could get in trouble. I can see, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you could get in trouble in this town.
But I think that's why college is not such a long time. It's a really short time because, like, by the end of it, you're like, I got to get out of this place.
Right. Yeah.
This is just crazy.
It's bringing me down.
It's bringing me down hard.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, when you get there, you are fresh-eyed. You are, like, new, and you are like, oh, my God, there's so many things. And then when you get to the end, you're just like, I'm burnt. Yeah. I got to get out of
this place. Too much freedom, no good sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, like, I mean, let's be honest. College is just, an adult babysitter. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, what did we learn in college? Not much, except how to drink
and
how to smoke pot, and that's about it.
Yeah. And chase around co-eds.
Yeah. Chase around co-eds. Is that what you were doing with Schaefer? Was Schaefer chasing around co-eds?
No. No, I had one beer because I was like, I'm not driving, you know, back
through
an
this
hour
town.
And 15 minutes after having a couple beers. It sounds like a good way to end up in a pylon.
Yeah.
You know?
And so. Probably, I'm sure the cops out in that area are like just waiting to pick you out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. College town. I was like, I'm having a beer. That's it. And waiting an hour, you know? So.
Nice.
Good story.
Good story.
But they, I guess they got stuck on, the crew got stuck on the road heading east to Kansas because they have the snow drifts, you know, in the plains. And so if it snows, you know, and the roads get blocked, you're just going nowhere.
There's still snow out there?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it snowed over the weekend.
Damn.
So the crew truck was stuck on the highway, and they had a show tonight, so I don't think they're going to make it. So,
oof.
Yeah.
Now, if he calls in, we'll talk to him about it, but I'd like to know, like, what do they lose out if they miss a whole night? They probably lose a lot more than just, like, whatever they were going to get paid. But that's pretty rough.
Well, the actors, I think, still – the crew and the actors still get paid, but I think, like, there must be, like, a kill fee. You know, like you have to buy the, you know, buy the theater out and say, all right, well, we'll, you know, reimburse you for the tickets.
It's got to be sold. Yeah.
But I mean, what are you going to do? There's nothing you can do.
No, there's nothing you can do.
You're kind of like, you're not in control of the world around you, if we want to get into that.
It's so weird because I can't imagine living in a place where something like that would obstruct me. Like if the C train goes down, I'm screwed. You know what I'm saying? Like. And when I went to Colorado, we had to go from Denver to Aspen. My buddies lived in Aspen, but we flew into Denver. And we couldn't get through the Vail Pass that day.
It was just shut down.
They're just like, we're shutting it down. You can't go. And I'm like, you know what? Thankfully, I make a decent enough living where I can afford a hotel or something like that.
Right.
But I can't imagine what it's like. Like, yeah, sorry, you can't go home.
Yeah,
you have to
you're done.
Go back to the city and survive through this big snowstorm. So it's very difficult to imagine. Where else does that even happen?
It is true. Rivers. I mean, we have our own problems with the trains and stuff, and not to that extent.
I could still walk to Manhattan.
That's
if
true.
I need to.
Right.
Yeah.
I think it was Tuesday, maybe it was Tuesday or Wednesday this week. Mm-hmm. All the trains like had electrical problems. Right. I don't know if you remember this.
I remember.
You remember this?
I was pissed off.
Everybody was pissed off. Yeah. It was really, really bad.
Yeah.
But I had clients in my room, and I had to walk from the Williamsburg Bridge to the Hudson River. It was pretty awful.
Wow, that's
it was terrible.
But
Caller, yo, you're on Mikey. The air. Who's this? Who's this?
It's Schaefer.
Schaefer.
There he is.
There he is. What's happening, buddy?
You will not believe my current situation.
It's worse.
Want to take
tell
a stab
us.
At
tell
it?
Us. Dude, take a stab at it.
I am currently stuck in Burlington, Colorado, at a bowling alley.
That's
as we
not
wait
so bad.
7 hours today for I-70 to open up and we can move our show to Kansas. Show is canceled.
Ugh.
Wow.
That sucks. That really
and
sucks.
And I spent the first 4 hours at a Pizza Hut
that's
getting
not bad.
Trashed.
That's
now
not
I'm
bad.
Calling you.
Wait, there's beer at a Pizza Hut in Colorado? They have beer there?
Yeah.
Or did you get any good bowling games in? Did you get thrown
best score? What was the best score
what
today?
What was the best score of the group?
It's happening right now, and I am not. I'm on the pool table, not the bowling alley.
No, that's a pool table's just as good.
Yeah.
I'm better at the pool table than I'm on the lane.
So how does
are you guys doing?
We're doing good. How does it affect you guys if you miss a show? Does it really, like, mess up the whole tour?
Here's the thing. If we don't make it to Hayes, Kansas tonight, the next 3 days are fucked. Pardon my language.
You can say whatever you'd like.
And two shows are canceled. So we need to make time tonight. But we're not going to get on the highway until they open it up late tonight. Man.
How much snow is out there?
I know, right?
Like, what's going on out there?
I'm wearing shorts today.
Well, here in Colorado, it's beautiful, sunny, but windy.
Mm-hmm.
But people say it's whiteout conditions and probably something jackknifed on this highway, like Mike told me this morning, and it's been closed for almost a day now.
Damn, that's crazy.
No
crazy.
One's moving,
a
man.
Day. What is there, like a truck hanging off of a cliff somewhere that they need to bring in a crane to remove?
What kind of world do we live in? It's almost June. Or no, wait. What is it?
It's almost May.
May. It's almost May.
Yeah.
And
but if the snow drifts on the highway, they got to get heavy equipment to move it. And if somebody gets stuck,
how high?
Emily and I got stuck on the highway for like 12 hours once.
Oh
in
yeah, that's right.
And we were stuck in a blizzard because a semi jackknifed, and then it screwed the whole system down. So
didn't
you
guys spend the night? Didn't you guys spend the night in the truck in that horrible smelly truck with
no
exhaust?
Not in the truck, in the car. The
oh,
Camry.
The car?
This is when I had the Camry.
But you guys
and I had
made
the hot
videos.
Wire.
I've seen those videos, Mike. Right?
Yeah, that's when
this
I first started
sexy.
Editing videos.
This is getting sexy.
So Schaefer, tell me about who was your biggest groupie this weekend?
Oh man,
who was it? Who was it?
Biggest groupie was Mike Bradley, bro.
I saw this
kid
guy so many
some...
times. He was in town. I was like, we gotta hang. We gotta see each other. You know, like
you did make some videos, Facebook Live videos, where you're both wearing really cool aviator sunglasses. I don't even know what you were talking about. The glare was too much.
Mike was trying to plug my show.
Oh,
the ever showman was.
Except that they all got canceled. So that's nice. So you're gonna make it to Kansas tonight?
I am still like 50-50. I don't know. They got this plan B where we go back to Denver and fly to Ohio tomorrow. I don't want that plan.
Oof.
You should have just hung out with me. You should have just hung out here.
That's what I'm saying, bro. I am like so pissed that I didn't just – but then you'd have to get me to Kansas tomorrow, man.
Yeah, that sounds terrible.
You ain't gonna do
that
for me,
would be a good road trip, though. Like, you guys could have a good road trip driving up to Kansas together. You could bring the kids with you. It'd be a good time.
God, Kansas is
terrible. Kansas is
terrible. It's really terrible. It's just, no offense to anybody living in Kansas, but it's just, it's Kansas.
It is. I've been to Kansas.
Yeah.
It's flat. There's a lot of farmland, and it's very strange farmers people.
What were you doing?
No, there's snow to the north and tornadoes to the south, so we're stuck.
That's pretty terrible. My mom's best friend lived in Kansas when I was a kid, so we'd go out there like once a summer. And it was just nothing to do out there. I remember one year we drove from Kansas to Nebraska because her friend had a farm in Nebraska. So we were in Nebraska, and I remember like being like, this is weird. There's nothing to do here. And we were staying at this guy's house that had like a farmer's daughter, and she had a big crush on me. And I remember my mom had a picture, school picture of me with the lasers in the background.
Of course.
And I had like spiked hair.
You had a sweater on.
And the girl was like, can I get one of those pictures to save?
You're the big city boy.
I know, I was a big city boy.
Yeah,
exactly.
The city slicker.
That's what I remember vividly. I couldn't remember like anything else about that little state except that. Weird flat.
The one moment when the laser picture worked.
Yeah, It was like, wow, this kid from the city's got lasers.
Yeah. Did she teach you how to do anything practical, like milk cows or possibly slaughter a goat?
No. I remember they had four-wheelers. We drove four-wheelers around there.
Oh, that's kind of cool,
yeah, that was
actually.
Fun. That was fun.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's just like, cool. That's what you do out there. You probably go cow tipping and drive four-wheelers.
Yeah. Well, that's now actually it's sounding much more appealing.
Yeah. I remember did we go up? I can't remember if we went up or it was too windy, which kind of goes to the wind drift thing. There was a balloon parade, and we were going to go up. I can't even remember if we went up or if it got canceled. But there was a whole festival of balloons.
Oh, like a hot air balloon
show.
Yeah,
hot air balloon show. Yeah.
One of them almost crashed into my house back when I was a teenager.
Oof.
Yeah.
That's pretty bad.
All right, Schaefer, we're going to let
Schaefer,
you go.
We're going to let you go, Schaefer.
Back to that pool table. Keep us posted.
Call us back in a little bit.
Yes. I want a 300 perfect game. Right,
see you, buddy.
It's just too loud in there.
Yeah, man. Yeah. It's a rowdy bowling alley.
Caller, you're on the air. What's happening?
Hey, guys.
What's
this
up?
This is Rob Rokicki.
Rob, what's happening, buddy?
Not much, guys. What's up?
Hanging. The Lightning Thief. The music and lyrics. Talk about this. Man, how are you? We got a big man crush on you, buddy, because we were sitting there. Dave and I dragged Dave to the theater.
It's true.
For opening night. We saw your musical. And it was so cool listening to your music. That, you know, that had to be a proud moment in your life. We're getting right into it. Rob Rokicki is a composer and lyricist and a great musician and really putting in his dues. I love it. I love when I see this guy get successful because he's just put in the hard work.
True.
So it's nice to see.
Thanks, man. Yeah.
So when
he was on our show years ago.
He was on our show years ago. You came to New York a couple weeks ago, and we went to go see The Lightning Thief, which is on which theater is it at, Rob?
It's at the Lucille Lortel Theater downtown.
Right, which is on, what is that, Charles Street?
It's on
Christopher Street. Christopher Street, yeah. And we went and saw it, and it's the play, The Lightning Thief, which is the play about the why don't you describe it a little bit, or Mike, someone describe it a little bit better than I can.
Sure. It's based on the famous Percy Jackson books that have been, like, bestseller young adult novels for a long time. So it's a musical based on the first of those books. It's a little like Harry Potter, but a little different. They're based on Greek gods. Kid that finds out his dad is a Greek god. So it's a lot of fun. Little crazy, zany rock and roll adventure musical.
Right, which was there was also a movie, right? Or more than one movie based on the story.
Movies. They're kind of not so good. They're okay.
Yeah, I think I saw the first one, and I was like, oh, this is cute kid movie. Like, you know, preteen kind of movie.
Just you and a bunch of children.
Exactly.
I think kind of don't like the movie so much, and I think it's a lot to do with the tone. The books are really funny, and the stakes are really high, and I think some of the self-seriousness in the movie's kind of the slickness of Hollywood kind of, you know, you lose a little bit of the humor.
Right. That happens all the time
in Hollywood.
But,
yeah.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, well, you're making movies by committee. It's not the fault of the actors.
Right.
You know, any of that. There's some really wonderful actors in those movies. But I think they changed the plot, like, drastically. And so I know the fans, like, weren't crazy about that. So we tried to like, pack in as much of that 400-page book as we could into a two-hour show.
Damn.
And I think we were fairly successful. We had to win over a lot of hearts and minds. Well, let's put it that way. The Percy fans are
very
the
nice.
Best.
The music was great. The music was great, and also the musicians that you had were top notch.
They're awesome.
They're really great.
Amazing.
Yeah,
they're all great guys I've played with for years. All been in several bands, done Broadway shows, all like in many bands. And they're also three of those guys were in a Weezer cover band, so I knew
nice.
Like we were off to a good place.
And there was like there's like four of them, right? There was like pretty much four.
There's only four guys.
Yeah.
There's only four guys, and when you see the show, you'll be blown away.
Yeah, I was pretty impressed by that. I mean, the keyboard player was just throwing out tons and tons of sounds that were just, like, filling up the entire thing. I was impressed.
Yeah, Wiley's amazing. Wiley is working overtime because he's doing something called using MainStage, which is, like, this awesome computer program where you can use a lot of sounds. But I think we were very judicious with it. We weren't trying to go crazy with a lot of billions of sounds. We wanted to find sounds that felt still like very organic and rock based, you know, organs and whirlies and roads and all that kind of stuff. And we worked with this amazing guy, Randy Cohen, who does a lot of Broadway shows, and he programmed it for us. And he's like done Hamilton and a million shows. We were like so lucky to get him to help us out with it.
That's cool.
Because yeah, he makes it. He's like, oh, you want that sound? I got the sound, and he'll like, that's the organ you want. You're like, oh yeah, that's it. That's the one.
That's really cool.
So it was very cool.
That is really sweet.
Nice. So, Rob, so not that you know, awards sort of mean anything really nowadays, but like you guys have been nominated for a couple awards, right? You don't want to. I mean, I didn't mean to say like not that awards mean anything. You don't want to like you kind of want to have a sort of humility about the show. You know, not say like the award, but you guys have gotten some good press, right?
Yeah, we have gotten a lot of good press. We're one of the best review shows that have come out in the last year. And that's been a testament to how hard we've worked to try to make it as a team effort to make it as good as we could. I mean, we've got fight choreographers and our music directors and regular choreographers and our director, who's a brilliant guy named Sam, Stephen Brackett, and my book writer, Joe Tracy, is working on Lemony Snicket at Netflix. He's like a brilliant guy that writes the best dialogue. It was this whole team effort. We worked our asses off. So I think like it's this really fun show, and we never expected anything. We just wanted to make the best show we could, and I think we've been like dispelling the idea that it's a kids show, because a lot of people just think, oh, it's based on a book that's like a young adult novel. And I think we're the best audiences we've had are ones like filled with people that have read the books that are now older, that like want to relive the spirit of those books, that are in their like 20s and 30s. And like people who are like in their 50s and 60s who like read the books to their kids like 10 or 15 years ago, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And then we have like youngins. So it's this like huge demographic, which is really cool.
When's the show running till?
The show is closing in like a week and a half. It's like breaking my heart. But we couple of amazing things happen, and one of which is that, yeah, we closed May 6th, Broadway Records is putting out our album. We recorded it this past week. It's going to sound amazing. The guy that we have as our lead producer is incredible, and done a bunch of Broadway albums, and he's amazing. It's going to sound so good. So that is a great thing. And who knows? Maybe we'll transfer. You never know. But at least we'll have this album that'll live on, and that's really exciting.
That's great.
Nice, Rob. It's great to see you like sort of be successful with this, and you know, put all this hard work into it, and it actually you know comes to fruition. And I got to ask you a question, because you know I followed your path for a while here, and a couple of musicals you were part of just didn't really come to fruition, or like there was this big build up, and like, all right, we're coming, we're putting it together, and the cast is here, and then we lost funding, and all these hopes and dreams got sort of dashed away. And in joking with another buddy of ours, Patrick, we call it sort of getting rokicky, because you kind of got hosed. You know, if you get rokickied, you get all the way to the top, and then you kind of get hosed. But it's great seeing you find success in this. And so, did you have any sort of words of advice for artists who are, you know, they constantly get up there and they're kind, you know, they're almost making it?
Yeah,
it's like months.
You just get sort of hosed.
That's what I was thinking. It's like months and.
It's been tough. And you know, I'll say having friends like you, having a system of support of people that you love, that you work with, that keep you going, that's important. Having other outside interests other than, you know, what you are doing as your quote-unquote career path is helpful too, so that when you come back to your what you're doing, you have fresh eyes on it. But at the end of the day, it's like you have to, if you believe in it, you're just going to keep doing it. I had so many teachers that didn't like the aesthetic of what I was going for, or people that wouldn't support me, or, you know, people that would bail on me at the last second, or, you know, you think something's about to happen and it all falls apart. But I mean, like, that's life. That's show business, but that's also life. So I think, like, it's not about, you know, the successes that kind of define you. It's about how you get up from...
It's perseverance.
The perseverance.
Yeah.
That's how you get up from when you get hit. It's Rocky Balboa, man.
Yeah.
It seems so silly, but it is. I mean, like, I had a really, 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 really hard, long slog of a lot of things that didn't happen. And it was just a matter of, like, I just want to tell good stories. I'm going to find projects I believe in. And then I'm going to surround myself with a bunch of really wonderful, like-minded artists that support each other. And
if the thing takes off, great. If it doesn't, I still told a good story. And sometimes you catch fire and sometimes you don't. But, you know, I don't take this experience for granted at all. This is like that those rare, rare, wonderful moments where, like, it clicks and people get it and they get what you've been trying to do for 16 years. And they say, oh, finally, this guy, where'd he come from? And you're like, oh, my God.
I've been here but, the whole time. I've been here.
I've been here. I've been right here, you guys. I've been right here. Right, the same thing, but you never know, you know?
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, that's about it is.
Persistence.
Sticking to your guns.
Yeah.
And being able to collaborate, you know? Not being precious. You got to know the difference about, like, when to let go and be a team player,
right,
and when to stick to your guns and believe in your vision. And
well, that's just like any relationship, I think, you know? Like,
absolutely.
It's about absolutely knowing when to fight, when not to fight, how to choose your fight, and go about doing it.
It's at all of those things, yeah.
All right, Rob. So what's next? What's on the horizon? What's coming up? You, I know you got a lot of pots in the fire here.
I do. I'm waiting for these rights to kind of get solved for one project that I'm really jazzed about, which is about a punk musical, which I may or may not happen. I don't know. I don't know about that. But I know something that is happening, and that is my next album, and that is called Monster Songs. It should be out soon, and that's like this crazy show that you've seen, I think, in some iteration that's finally getting done. It's going to be a bunch of Broadway people and a killer rock band, and it's a graphic novel that's also a rock album, so it's going to come with this beautiful artwork when you get it, and that'll be out, I hope, by the end of the summer, but definitely before Halloween.
Is Dave O'Neill still doing the artwork for that?
Dave O'Neill, man, he's the best.
Nice. Look at this. O'Neill's good
artwork.
People.
Yeah. It's great. We got, like, Megan Hilty is on it, Julian Murney, Joe Iconis, a bunch of, like, Broadway folks, and it's going to be cool. It's going to be really, really
Monster
cool.
Monster Songs.
Monster Songs. So I got that down the pike, and, you know, a couple other things up my sleeve, but that's what I'm focusing on next, and making sure, and now I got to mix this album, you know, so lighting people.
There you go. Well, that keeps you busy, keeping you busy.
Yeah, you know it is.
Very cool, Rob. Congratulations. Thank you so much. I hope they revive it. You come back, you do another couple-month run.
Yeah, man. I'll be down.
Yeah, right? It was a good show. I was really impressed. I'll throw it out. I'm not the biggest, like, musical fan, but I was impressed by the music. I was impressed by the lyrics. I was impressed by the actors. The guy who plays... kind of that, like, the guy who plays the, like, administrator,
angry guy. Yeah, George, he was nominated for Drama Desk Award for that performance. Yeah,
he was so amazing. He was really good. Amazing.
He's so good. Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. You surround yourself with people that you just love, and that guy, George Salazar, he's amazing. And I've wanted to work with him for years, and we're like, finally, something that I know he would be great at.
His comedic pacing was just absolutely right on with everything he did. It was great. If you can go see it, go check it out at the Lucille, which theater is it at?
Lucille Lortel. Come on,
Lortel,
Dave.
Lortel, for another week.
Another week. Go check it out. The Lightning Thief. Rob Rokicki. Don't get Rokicki'd, you know?
Don't get Rokicki'd.
I'm so glad
good
I
talking
learned.
To you, Rob.
Great. Good talking to you, boys. Thank
all
you.
All right, later, Rob.
Bye, guys.
Later.
All right. Good guy. 10 years from now, NPR is going to pull our interview. They're like, hey, do you have that interview with Rob Rokicki before he was famous?
And then we'll
talking
say
about his workflow.
$10,000.
$10,000.
Exactly.
Where are you going?
Nowhere. I just had to try to hang up on him. I just had to make sure he was hung up on. Good times.
Good show.
But speaking of, like,
still there?
Yeah, Charlie's still here. He's still here. He's hanging.
I'm chilling.
So speaking of, like, you know, the relationship stuff and talking about all that, Charlie's getting married.
I'm getting married Labor Day weekend, September 2nd.
Right.
Yeah.
Very nice.
You got a videographer?
I don't have a videographer. Why? Do you?
That's what
do
Giggles
this.
Does.
Let's talk.
Do you
we'll
really?
Talk after
really?
The show.
You
this
come
what
up
I do.
To Dirty Jersey? Come do a little video?
He totally will. He really will.
The thing that you have to understand about me and videographers is that I'm a television editor.
This is true.
So I have very high expectations for what I want my wedding video to be like. Because my wife, she ain't gonna fuck around either, man.
She ain't gonna fuck around.
She's Indian, so if she puts down money, she expects crazy results.
Oh, it's an Indian wedding.
Ah, forget it, man.
Whoa,
that sounds fun.
We're looking at like
3 days, 2 days.
No, I mean, thank thank God that it's not like that. But we are looking at like 320 people. Right,
320
now.
People?
Yeah, oh, yeah. God.
Yeah. Holy crap.
It's massive. And she's from Canada, which has a very large Indian population in Mississauga. And we're going to do just an engagement party up there for her side of the family that can't make it. And that is like 250 people.
Damn.
So if we had to put this all together.
So you're going to have to shake like 600 hands.
At least.
Kiss 400 babies.
That's so many babies. Yes, I'm getting married and running for president.
Yeah,
of the
pretty
United
much.
States.
Yes. Sounds like it.
Shaking hands and hopefully cashing some checks. So please, I was just joking around that you know you have to make a registry for the wedding, and I'm like, how about we don't put a lot on there and just open that wallet, put some checks in there.
Yeah, put some checks in there,
and hopefully help us pay back this wedding bill.
God, that sounds insanity.
It's crazy. Yeah, big time. But
I've met the lady. She's a lovely lady. I really liked her.
Yeah, no, she's very laid back.
Yep. The first time I actually hung out with her, mm-hmm. it was like the screening of that film that you produced.
Yeah. Yeah. No, a film called A Convenient Truth.
A Convenient Truth.
Yeah, it was a satire parody of An Inconvenient Truth.
Right.
We did a little run in New York City about 2 years ago.
Right.
Back in February. And we've sold like 4 copies.
Nice.
Probably.
Can you see it anywhere?
You can. You can actually check it out on Amazon Prime. It's called A Convenient Truth, directed by Dominic Bagnato and produced by myself and Patrick Stewart.
Nice.
Starring Alan Berman. And it's a fun little parody. I wish we had put it out now because we had already missed the wave of the first an Inconvenient Truth, and now he's putting out another one.
We could still publicize.
We could
still be like, hey, we could get another run going.
We could do another run.
So basically, like, give us a rundown of the movie of like what it's about, because it's pretty funny. It's a good premise.
Yeah, it was a good premise. It's independent, obviously. We did it on our own, but it's about Assemblyman Coleman Burleson from the state of California. Who, you know, obviously we have plenty of troubles in this country with climate change, unemployment, obesity, and of course, you know, dependency on foreign oil and whatnot. And his idea on what to do about problems like immigration would be to put Mexicans and fat people and unemployed people on bicycles that generate electricity in order to take care of all of the world's woes. And it's kind of a step-by-step basis,
right.
Kind of much like An Inconvenient Truth, on how we could do that and how we could apply that to the entire country and even the world one day.
It's all tongue-in-cheek. The lead actor in it's great.
Alan, yeah.
It kind of reminded me of the Thank You for Smoking.
Right.
It kind of was like that, where it's like this kind of guy going out and publicizing something that he's not really behind. He's just kind of like, this can work.
Yeah, doesn't understand it.
Yeah,
doesn't know what's going on. It's a total farce.
Yep.
And, but, you know, it was a labor of love, like most independent features are. And we produced it ourselves over the course of a couple of years. And I also edited it. And, if you want to check it out on Amazon Prime,
please
feel free. Or you can go to An Inconvenient Truth movie.com.
A Convenient Truth.
Convenient Truth.
Don't go to Inconvenient Truth.
Fuck Al Gore, as far as I'm concerned. Unless you like Al Gore, then
go there too.
Yeah, check it out.
Did you watch the trailer for The Inconvenient Truth 2, the next one that he's coming out with?
I have not. I heard it's fairly anti-Trump, right?
It's kind of anti. It starts off with some anti-Trump, but then basically goes into like where we are as a world since the first one came out.
Okay.
And we're like way worse off.
We're way worse.
We're way worse
off.
We learned nothing, and like the path that we're on now is like even worse.
Right. And Manhattan will soon, like south of what, Canal Street will be gone.
Yep. I mean, Miami's going to be gone.
Florida's gone.
Yeah, Florida's pretty much gone.
But I mean, I don't really care about Florida.
Nobody does. Giggles was from there. So
are you from Florida, Giggles?
I am from Florida, and people are still building down there, which is crazy.
Yeah.
It's like people are buying houses by the water, and I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah,
like, maybe 25 years, but in 50 years, you don't know what's going to happen. You know, it looks bad.
And,
you know, it doesn't look great for Florida.
And no.
Florida seems to have a huge problem with sinkholes also.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. There was a bunch of them.
It's basically built on a bog,
like
a swamp.
Right. So you can't have basements down there.
Yeah.
Like, you can't go underground by, like, 2 inches.
Yeah. So I don't know why anyone would really want to set up shop there for an extended period of time, especially right now. What part of Florida were you in?
Southwest Florida. So, like, Fort Myers.
Oh, nice.
Home of the winter homes of Thomas Edison and Henry Ford.
Sure. A lot of people from Michigan make their way down there.
Yeah, ton of people from Michigan, Ohio, all those like Indiana. They go to the West Coast, and then the New York guys and the Boston guys go to the East Coast usually.
That makes sense.
Well, my father has just started going down to Naples, Florida, which is very nice, but it's also one of the whitest cracker places I've ever been to in my entire life.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so white. It's so a lot of plastic surgery down there.
Completely. I believe it.
Yeah. And I'm white.
A lot of just
beard.
You're kind of white.
I'm kind of.
You're kind of white.
Olive oil skin and guinea charm.
Exactly. I mean, you're Italian. You're not really white.
Yeah.
Speaking of really white, so this weekend was my niece's confirmation. And I went to the church. And first of all, I couldn't get in the church, which surprised me. Like, it was so packed that I couldn't get in. And I was like, I thought people were, like, abandoning the church. There's tons of people here. Yeah. But then I finally made my way in, and I looked around, and there was just white people.
Just a
bunch of, like, Italian white people, locals of upstate New York.
Oh, yeah. Tolerant people they are.
Yeah, very tolerant. Yeah, very tolerant.
Incredibly tolerant. Skin of privilege, they like to call themselves. Mm-hmm. No, I think that it's very odd when you're in a town like that and you start to, especially being in New York City where it's diversity everywhere.
Yeah.
So now it's very noticeable when you go to a place like that and you're like, this
is weird. And I'm sure like they don't see it.
They don't know it.
Because that's just what they're used to. That's what they see all the time.
Right.
And that's probably the biggest problem with the Midwest is that they don't see any people of color.
Right.
And then when they see one, they're like, we got to get them out of here.
Like,
why? What are they doing here?
Right, yeah. How dare they?
How dare they?
Set foot in my clean cut town. No.
It's terrible.
Well
I've said this before. Like, I feel like every high school student should spend a couple weeks or a month somewhere where they have a slight chance of maybe getting killed.
Yeah.
Or if you it's, you know, for example.
So you want to put kids in harm's way?
Yeah. Catch some lead.
Put them in harm's way a little bit. Buddy of mine went to Jamaica. We went there twice. Well, I went separately with another friend. But the first time we went, you know, we didn't stay on the resorts. I might have told this story before, but we didn't stay at the resorts. We went really into the country to have like a true authentic experience.
Oh yeah.
And there were times when I felt all right, I'm a white dude in the middle of Jamaica where like, it's not the best history of white people, you know, having slaves in Jamaica.
Right.
But like, you know, I felt like, all right, well, I have to respect these people. I'm the minority here. You know, don't smart off to anybody. Mm-hmm. Respect people. Look people in the eyes and make sure, like, you're a respectful citizen. And I think, like, people don't realize that, and especially kids, young people. They think you can mouth off and say anything.
Well, that's the white privilege. That's that privilege that they don't really understand.
The entitlement.
Yeah, the entitlement.
That you don't deserve to get your teeth knocked out for being a fool, but that's not true.
Right.
You can.
I feel like they can go anywhere they want in the world, and they'll be protected by a bubble that doesn't exist.
Right.
Yeah. So,
did you have good experiences down there in Jamaica?
Yeah,
he got his teeth knocked out. I had an awesome experience. It was really cool. Like, we really got into the country and saw a lot of it that I think a lot of people just don't see. They're like, oh, we'll go to Jamaica because we'll go to Sandals or Breezes.
This is when you went to work on that documentary?
Oh, God, that's another story.
Where you had to abandon the whole thing and you got a rash, some kind of rash in the...
Yeah, I was supposed to go for 2 weeks, ended up only going for about 8 days because I got this bush rash. We went trekking through this, like, you know, rainforest, and I came out of there, and that night my arms were just, like, swollen with this rash. I'm in another country. You know, I kind of miss home a little bit. And I was like, all right, maybe I'll...
you got homesick.
We had grandiose plans of making this documentary, but we really didn't know what we were doing. And we had Andy, who's really, you know...
Sure.
You know, free labor, but he just doesn't know what he's doing. You know?
You guys were pretty young. That's right around the time that I met you for the first time. That's like right around the time we decided, let's start a good old podcast radio show. And
I want to get... Here's the thing. We took like 7 or 8, you know, full, you know, those mini HDV tapes.
Yeah.
And then the guy who was, you know, someone quote unquote producing it, or just basically was our Jamaican sort of, you know, our contact, was like, oh no, I'm going to hold on to these tapes. And I was like, let's edit something. Let's make something out of this. So I'm going to try to convince him to like, let me at least copy the tapes. Cause I think it'd be awesome. Like, I have footage of Rath and I doing sort of environmental/documentary in Jamaica, where Rath is the cameraman
terrible.
I was the host.
You were the host? I didn't know that you were the host, so I got to see these.
Well, I was trying to be the host, but I didn't know what I was talking about.
No, and
like,
you
we
got
just roll up to some rainforest.
You got bush
the
rash.
Joe, the Jamaican guy was like, "Hey, talk about this." I was like, "I don't know about this. I don't know what I'm talking about."
I have to see this. You really got where is the guy now? Is he still in Jamaica or is
he's
he
in,
here?
I think he's in Chicago. He might be in Chicago or Jamaica, and he's got the tapes. And I've been trying to get him for years to be like, "Yo, let me at least copy the tape because I want to see this footage." You know, I spent a couple weeks there. Spent money.
Sure.
In my time, I want to at least see the footage.
You got to get that stuff back. It's probably just sitting on a shelf collecting dust. No harm, no foul if you get copies of it.
Yeah.
I would like to see this.
This would be good.
This would be good.
Either in Chicago or Jamaica. Two completely different.
We should send him to Chicago to go to like the homeless camps and do the same thing there and see how far he gets.
Yeah. Bush rash indeed.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. The under whacker. Exactly. All right, so that's
Charles. Thanks
we're
for coming
getting
in,
close
hey,
to the end.
Thank you for having me, man. This is a great time.
Did you guys learn anything?
Do you have anything besides your film that you want to plug?
No, man. I didn't even really want to plug the film, but I'm glad you reminded me that I made one.
Yeah, you made one.
Yeah. No,
are you working on anything else?
No, we were trying to do docs and everything like that, but I think I'm going to try and do a short next.
Yeah?
Do like a nice.
You going to direct it? You're going to just.
I think I want to direct this time. Yeah? I want to produce. Yeah, yeah. So,
yeah. I feel like the last one you were at your wit's end because you were working on that forever.
It was a long time. Like I said, labor of love. And I'm very loving that it's over.
Yeah, of course.
But thank you, man. It was a great time.
Yeah.
Well, come out to Colorado, man. You got a place to crash if you need it.
Thank you, man.
Dave and I will be at the airport.
We'll be there.
We'll be there in a couple weeks.
Yeah, we'll get in the Jeep and we'll just drive out now.
Yeah.
Sweet.
With your film.
Stopping at truck stops.
Yeah, stopping at truck stops.
You gotta see this movie.
You gotta do DVDs and Blu-rays for everyone.
Yeah, every truck stop.
Yeah.
We actually thought about doing that once. We were going to drive up and down the East Coast and make a whole bunch of Dave and Giggles DVDs and start handing them out to truckers.
It's a great way to get a buzz going.
It is a good way to get a buzz going. Yeah. We never did it. We should have done that. That would have been a good time.
It's a good way to get a buzz or maybe get killed by a trucker.
Yeah, I think like raped and killed by truckers.
Yeah.
Well. It's pretty much how it would go down. What do we got coming up next?
I don't know. I'm never here, so I don't know who this gentleman is.
I do know this gentleman. Okay. I was going to see if he was going to plug a little something. What are you going to...
Yes, this is DJ MSG, and coming up next is Collision Time Revisited, 2 hours of punk rock, old, new, and middle school, but mostly new.
Sweet. Mostly new. Yeah. Nice.
Awesome.
You showcasing anybody this week, new?
Nothing in particular. We do have new music from Shark Muffin, who are friends of the show, and I'll be playing a song that has a video that I actually appear in.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
But it's radio, so they won't be able to see it. But you can tell them where to see it.
I'll tell them where to
there it
they
goes.
Can see it, where they can find it, and... I'm fully visible at several points.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Nice. Very cool. So we'll become video cast.
It's,
we should.
Yeah.
We really should go all video. It's not up to me. So who am I to say? All right. So that's Dave and Giggles. What all else right, did
I
we
got,
learn
I got
today?
One, how many more seconds?
We got 2 minutes.
Two minutes. I got one more thing.
All right.
So we got to start small.
All right.
Talk politics. But we're like, how can you make a difference?
Okay.
And I am going to be making a difference in 2 ways. And if you have anything to say, you can say this too. But I'm going to do videos for my school, my kids' school. It's a bilingual charter school. And they need enrollment. They need their numbers up a little bit. So I'm going to redo their enrollment video, make it a tax write-off, and just do it for them. Because they're a school. They got no budget. And I believe in it. It's the best investment I can make is make a video for them. Bada bing, bada boom.
How did this go down? Did you approach them?
Oh, yeah.
What did you say to them?
I first and gave them a budget, and I was like, hey, this is what I could do it for. And then they're like, we don't have any money. I was like, all right, well, listen, let me just do it for free. I'll donate my time because I want you guys to be a success.
That's amazing.
This is my kid's school. All right? So we're doing that. And then the second thing I'm doing is there's a person in my neighborhood that's running for city council.
Yeah.
I'm going to make her political ad video. I'm going to make her videos for her.
All right, tell me how that went on your approach to her to sell yourself on that.
Well, she sent an email that was like, hey, I'm running for city council. And I said, hey, let me know if you need videos. It's like, I can do a political
ad
about me. Political ad.
Is she a Democrat, a Republican? What is she? What's her stance?
I think she's Democrat.
What's her stance? What is she selling? Anti-fracking?
I'm not saying names yet.
All right.
I get a sort of agreement in place because I don't want to plug anybody. Just
so did you offer a budget? She approved? Or did she also say that we got no money?
Well, she's like, I'm raising money right now. Once I get enough money, I can pay you. So
sounds
we'll
like
talk budget.
A lot of things for free out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, listen.
I love
what
it.
I can do. Small steps.
I love it. All right. We'll get into that next week. Good show.
Good show.
Go home. Doodly-doo.